Joe Smith time, 7:50 at WGCL. Geez, we're running a little behind here this morning. I guess I get lost when I don't have a co-pilot, Smitty. It's me and you. And
yeah, we're still up and flying.
That's the good news. That's right, flying the friendly skies. And you get home late. Well, not as late as you've been, maybe on some other trips. You had a nice 7 o'clock start instead of a 9 o'clock start last night. But for a while, Joe, you thought, well, maybe this game's going to get 5 extra minutes of clock time, as the Hoosiers had a 14-point lead, dwindled down to 0. But as we saw, the team with the ball last, thankfully it was James Blackman Jr. He races the length of the court, pulls up on the 7-footer from 23 feet. Swish, no even drama. That ball left his hand so quickly, Joe, we didn't have to worry, wait on any shady replay or anything else. Whew. That's the good news. The bad news is the Hoosiers might have lost a key piece. Tell us about what we saw and heard last night at the Bryce Jordan Center in State College.
Well, as Coach Tom told us post-game, it wasn't the Watford shot, but it was the same play run on a different side. Thomas Bryant did the Cody screen, and this time it was James Blackman Jr. launching the final shot as the horn sounded, denying Penn State overtime and a chance in overtime to come back from 14 down. But there was no overtime Thursday night as the Hoosiers overcame a night of big-time adversity to pull this one out at the Bryce Jordan Center, giving them now its first two-game winning streak since before Christmas, and leveling, finally, its Big Ten slate at 3-3, headed into Saturday's key home court battle with Michigan State. A night of adversity, even before the tip, when Jawan Morgan was ruled out with his ankle, and then the great emotional loss of OG Anunoby near the end of the first half when a misstep in the paint caused his right knee to buckle, collapsing in pain, leaving the Hoosiers without one of its key pieces, and two tears to overcome in a locker room during halftime, the Hoosiers up 7 at the time. But the Hoosiers overcame the hurt and the loss. They stepped out into the second half and built up a 14-point lead with 9:19 to play before finally finding the composure to hold off the Nittany Lions surge at the end that ended with that final shot. And after the Lamar Stevens two free throws tied it at 75 with 4.6 seconds left, the Hoosiers delivered with Blackman winding up on his backside. This game winner, well, perhaps this shot, which maybe right now where this season stands could be and find us headed toward the true direction of a season that certainly has been catch up in a word in the league after the 0-2 start, and two, one that will move forward now marred by last night's key injury to OG Anunoby. So that is things that we will find out in time. Should the Hoosiers been in that position in the first place? No. A 7-point lead, 75-68 with 68 seconds left, found the Hoosiers turning it over not once, not twice, but three times. Two missed free throws on front end of one-on-ones by Curtis Jones. That enabled Penn State to get even with 4 seconds left, only to bring about the drama and certainly the relief on this emotional night where a big dose of poise to get the job done was the big intangible in the end, and J.B. Jr. delivered 78-75, the final. Tonight, the women of Terry Moran look to snap a two-game losing streak, and like the men, get even at 3-3 in the Big Ten with a home court win over Purdue at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Tip-off, 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. The annual Barn Burner Trophy game with the Purdues, who come in 3-2, 12-7 overall. Purdue has it right now. The Hoosiers want it back, plain and simple. Indiana leads the overall series down through the years, 38-35. This should be a good one. Tyra Buss out to extend that school record double-figure game mark to 56 straight games in this hopeful Hoosier win tonight at 8 o'clock. It's also Indiana Governor's Cup 1-point availability for Indiana's women. Hoosiers currently lead that series 4.5 points to 3.5 points. Elsewhere on Wednesday night, high school wrestling, South knocked off Edgewood 34-31. It was Wade Preston's win at 152 that kind of clinched things for Mike Runyon's crew on seniors night. The Panthers down the stretch won 5 of the last 7 matches. High school girls hoops tonight. Larry Winter South Panthers will be short another player. They play at Terre Haute South looking for its 9th win. Unfortunately, there'll be minus senior Marina Blackwell. She's out with a knee injury, and now, unfortunately, she's on the sidelines joining her younger sis, Addie, who's been on nursing and out of the Panther lineup since the early part of December with an ankle problem. Junior high hoops last night, Jackson Creek outscored Tri-North, Joe Buddy's crew in the second half, 25-10, 22 turnovers in this one, costing the Tri-Northers. They lose to Jackson Creek 47-32. And in girls high school swimming last night, the girls of Dave Tanner, 7-0 to close out the dual season. As they host Terre Haute North, beat them 111-75. They won all three relays, Melinda Wang and Emma Mon. Each two individual wins and legs on the relay teams, and Alicia DeMar's new career mark, winning the diving, 227.55. She also swam on the relays. Big night for that outstanding senior. The boys, by the way, won their third duel of the year. They're 3-4 on the year as they beat Terre Haute North, 105-75.
8:43 at WGCL. The morning after Hoosier Hoops, we always check in with our good friend Joe Smith. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
Smitty's doing okay. How's the glass man? Brian Solo doing a good job.
There we go. Keeping it above the tree line. That's all. Yeah. That's all.
Well, you got good visibility.
It is. A little sunshine.
Starting to pop out.
And not having a 9 o'clock game is a little bit easier, isn't it?
Makes a difference, you know, to me, with the road trips involved and everything, the older you get, it takes a little out of you. But I'll guarantee you, when you have two extra hours of sleep, maybe two and a half or three, it makes a big difference.
It does.
Got home about, we landed about 12:35 last night, or this morning, rather. But that beats 4:10, as was the case the last time we flew east.
And, Joe, before we get to your reports, how was the mood on the way home? Because you had such a high with making the shot by Blackman to win you the game, and then the complete other side of the spectrum with OG Anunoby with an ice bag or a brace or whatever with his first half injury. Give us a little insight of what you heard.
Well, I was talking to a couple of players on the bus going over. We'll mention that in a second with Jerron Davis, who went down himself. With about eight to play, with a right ankle problem. He had some ice on it on the bus. I said, hey, way to continue to play well, big guy, and you need to continue to, step up now. He said, yes, sir. And he responded last night as a member of the bench corps. OG came by when we were boarding the plane, and, he gave me the fist pump, and, obviously he had his listen to his tunes that he plays in his little phone there, and that was tough to see because you brought it up earlier this morning. When you have in any sport, you see an athlete go down in a non-contact situation.
That's tough, isn't it?
On a misstep, usually the outcome isn't good. You hope and pray that it's going to be good and okay. But then, the somber thing as we deplaned was Tim Garl always sits in the first seat on the left-hand side. He had a pair of crutches. Well, it wasn't for him, obviously. And, it was tough to see that as the bags unloaded, But, they showed their resiliency. And, I don't know if there's going to be a play or this shot or what defines the season, but certainly it had an impact last night because, I think I made a comment to you after we lost to Fort Wayne back in December. It would have been tough for me to say that Indiana deserved to win that game because
Correct.
Fort Wayne played better, and it would have been a shame had they lost the game. But that being said, last night, in the end, the way things turned out, it would have been a shame. The way Indiana showed and worked and showed its poise and composure, it would have been a shame to walk off that plane this morning with a loss. So let's remember it was a win in a difficult situation. And I'm not going to say the players were upbeat. Obviously, it was a 360 from when they left the dressing room at halftime, leading by seven, knowing that this is a serious injury, to one of jubilation along the bench where that shot was taken last night on the right side by JB, that there was jubilation, and for good reason, because we, you know, hung in there and got some things done.
All right, and for folks who maybe didn't catch all of it or looked down on their phone and said, well, Indiana's up 14 points, well, I can just finish up what I'm doing, and that's a good road win there. Tell us what you saw courtside last night, because there were excellent performances. Indiana's balance, Joe, jumps off the page when they're balanced. Yep. They are very, very difficult to beat, but we did see some late turnovers. We did see some late free throws. It's not the finished article yet, but a huge road win last night.
Well, certainly this one, Wednesday night, bittersweet. The sweet part, JB Jr.'s game-winning shot contested that three as the Hoosiers hold off a surging Penn State team and preserving IU's first true road win at the Bryce Jordan Center, 78-75. Of course, the bitter, the to-be-determined loss of OG Anunoby to that right knee injury on the final play of the first half. But regardless of scenarios that played out, good, bad, and ugly, the bottom line was the W. That now brings Indiana to 3-3, joining now four other clubs with the same aggregate ongoing in these jumbled standings that we see game to game. Ohio State won on the road last night at Nebraska on a last-second inbounds basket from Mark Loving. And that left Nebraska lumped in there at 3-3 with the Hoosiers, Penn State, Minnesota, and Iowa. And the Hawks play host to co-league leader Maryland tonight before we hit the weekend. But back to last night, aside from all of the circumstances, the Hoosiers earned this one. After watching a 7-point lead with a minute 8 to play dissolve right in front of their eyes prior to Blackman's shot, his fifth three of the night, and to date in his career, none any bigger. But going inside the numbers, Blackman, Robert Johnson, Thomas Bryant, to all but 17. Bryant and Blackman, they shared 14 rebounds between them. Bryant just missing his fifth double on a night when he also led the Hoosiers, unfortunately, in turnovers with 5. But Penn State, they scored 14 points off of 17 turnovers, 12 in the second half, and 3 the final 68 seconds by Indiana, but the Hoosiers survived. The Hoosiers did turn 13 offensive rebounds into 23 second chance points last night, with Jawan Morgan in sweats and nursing his ankle problem and the injury to OG. The Hoosier bench stepped up with 18 points. That's the 13th time this year that the Indiana bench outscored the opponents. Deron Davis was down at the 8-12 mark of the game with a right ankle that he had iced on the trip home prior to this morning. Sat next to him on the bus at the airport, told me it's just a little sore but nothing serious, thank goodness. He did return to the game. He wound up with 7 points, 4 rebounds in 14 minutes. Zach McRoberts did some good things, led the Hoosiers in deflections and 2s across the board. What department? Nearly all of them. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks in 15 minutes. Robert, by the way, matched his season best in with 7 rebounds to go along with those 17 that he nailed offensively. So they closed in a dramatic fashion, poise and composure, big elements obviously Wednesday night, and now something to continue to build on, this being Indiana's first 2-game winning streak since before Christmas. We move forward to the next challenge, and this year in this league, every game is a challenge, and apparently this one will be as well. But it's Michigan State at 4-2, but it's on the McCracken court at 4 o'clock on Saturday. Don't forget the big Barn Burner Trophy game tonight in the Simon Scott Assembly Hall is Terry Morin's crew. Like the men, they're on a 2-game, or were, hopefully, a 2-game losing streak. They'll try to even up in Big Ten play as they take on the Purdue's tonight, 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. All kinds of promotions for the families. Get there early, hopefully a good crowd. The Hoosiers want the Barn Burner Trophy back right now. Purdue won by 10. Last year they come in, they had their 3-game winning streak snapped by Ohio State the other day. They're 12-7. The Hoosiers at 2-3 in league play. They'll try to even up and to continue the series advantage down through the years. Also a full point up in the Governor's Cup race that Indiana currently leads the Purdue's in, 4.5 to 3.5. So the storyline there. High school girls hoop, we have one game tonight. Bloomington South will play at Terre Haute South. Don't forget, no basketball tomorrow night. We go to Saturday night, and a big one it is, with implications toward a clear-cut, perhaps, 2017 CI crown. We'll find out as the Panthers of JR and the Franklin Central Flashes at 7:30 on Saturday night. Both teams are 3-0 in league play. John Callahan, Terry Stoltz will describe the action.
And Pacer fans last night, Joe, that went to bed. The Pacers were down 22 in the second quarter, trailed by 19 at halftime. Well, of course, they outscored Sacramento 65-40 in the second half and win. Nate McMillan's 500th win as coach. Pacers now have won, I believe, 7 of their last 8. Yeah, that is right. Had a 5-game winning streak before London, lost. Came home, beat the Pelicans on Martin Luther King Day. Now have beat Sacramento, so a good start to their road trip out west. They are in second place in the Central. Good stuff for the Blue and the Gold. Joe, we've got a busy weekend of football as well. We'll have Championship Sunday for everybody. 2 o'clock pregame. NFC game is first. Green Bay travels to Atlanta, the final game in the Georgia Dome, followed by the outdoor conditions of Foxborough as the Steelers and Patriots get together. Should be tasty 2 football games.
One little add to the collegiate beat, and we wish him well. And I think we all know the name of Kurt Mallory, who practiced at Bloomington South, the youngest son of Coach Phil, one of 3 coaching sons. Kurt had been the defensive coordinator out at Wyoming. I say had been because he is expected to be named the new head coach over at Indiana State later today. We wish him the very best. Couldn't be happier for the entire Mallory family, Kurt and his family. Yeah, excellent.
And back to Indiana, too. That's always a fun part of the deal. Good luck to Terry Morin's crew tonight, 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. That's always fun when they get to battle their arch rivals from up Interstate 65. And what else? I feel like I'm missing something. A big ACC game last night. Notre Dame is no longer unbeaten in the ACC. They fell at Florida State, 83-80. Nebraska fell asleep on an inbounds play. Joe, you can't do it with 0.6 seconds left. Mark Loving lays it in, as you mentioned. And away, Ohio. Oh, look at that, Ohio State from 0-4 in league play, and now they're 2-4. There are no nights off. No nights off in the Big Ten.
There really isn't. I mean, you know, aside from
Rutgers, I'll say it. They're
all
bad.
Right, so the rest of the 13, 12, not including us. So there's 12 teams there that on any given night, you know, you just got to be ready to answer the bell. It's just a kind of season. And I got a hunch that Iowa's going to play Maryland pretty tough and may knock the Terps off the top before the weekend begins.
Yep, Iowa, if they're going to play anywhere with that young lineup, it's going to be at home. You saw a little bit of that from the youngsters of Penn State last night. And what was I going to tell you? I had something to tell you, and I can't remember. Oh, the Hoosiers, Joe, have had an interesting, because you remember in Kansas, Indiana, they had a 7-point lead with about 50 seconds left. That game went to overtime. They found a way to win that one. They had a lead, as you mentioned, last night with about a minute to go, about 7 points.
Yeah.
Found a way to win that one. There's a little something there. It needs to get cleaned up. Tom Crean said as much after the game last night. But the OG thing, we're going to last night was a basketball test of character. Now we're going to talk about a test of character in general with how that moves forward, if there is bad news with it. And we hope to hear something. But as I mentioned, we haven't heard what's wrong with Colin Hartman, so I'm not going to hold my breath on any of that moving forward.
Yep.
Thank you so much for your effort this morning.
Hey, appreciate
I appreciate it.
It.
I know it's a quick turnaround. And, again, I'm glad you got those extra 2 hours. We won't do anything next week out of the ordinary because you'll be in Ann Arbor on Thursday night. Let's just hope that game time isn't 9 p.m. Nobody
will. It is.
Is it 9 o'clock? Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and then on top of that, to make things worse, I mean, you know,
Sunday
you stay
turnaround
on the road, and you have to play a Sunday night game at Northwestern.
Are you going to stay on the road?
No, we're coming back.
Coming back, okay. Well, we won't have any morning afters next week, but you get tomorrow off, so we'll add that to your collection as well.
Well, I'll be on with you tomorrow.
Sure, but I just know you don't have to be running around to the high schools tomorrow night
because
we've got Saturday, and then Michigan State at home on Saturday. So we'll get caught up tomorrow morning.
All right.
We'll preview the big weekend and have some fun.
Enjoy your day.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate your time.
All righty, my friend.
Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45, mornings after Hoosier Hoops.